Like to welcome everybody, and we're going to study a little bit, a couple things, and our brother Norman Larry, you know, posted a couple of things on social media this week, and you know, they're out of country, they're preaching the gospel of the Lord to a darkened world. And the Lord is really blessed. There's been tremendous movement, tremendous rejoicing and growth in the church. And we praise God for that. But let's look at a couple of scriptures that was brought forth. And this is concerning some of the events that's happened this week. So let's open up a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for blessing us and giving us your word that indeed, Lord, we can be at peace and be still because we know your word, your righteousness, your truth is great. And it is true, Lord, that you are, Lord, the true and living God. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Please lead and direct as we read your word that we may write it upon our hearts and understand and impart your wisdom unto us. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, the mind of man is doing the work of man, and that manifested itself this week with a couple of rulings the Supreme Court had. The Lord set our nation up, founded it upon the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And Satan has been doing all he can since that time and before to hinder the progress of this nation. But God has always blessed it, always blessed his people. You know, the nation, the continent that will be Zion after the Lord's indignation passes over. And but first they've got to be, just as in the church, a falling away of, because the cleansing has to come. And so what we witnessed this week was just part of that falling away, you know, just another step down the road of the prophecies being fulfilled. And so I want to read in 2 Timothy starting in chapter 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into the houses and leave captive silly women laden with sin and led away with devourer's lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. This is the Lord said that this day would be with us. And in the last days, you know, they'd be perilous times because all these things would happen. It's just, you know, what the ruling of the Supreme Court was the allowing of gay marriages, and they've done other things all along, but you know, made it legal in all 50 states rather than a state issue. It became a federal issue, and totally overstepped their power of. Their power is up to uphold the Constitution. But I'm not going to get into the political realm of it from the pulpit. What I'll get into the spiritual realm is, God said that this day would come, and that men would turn away from and just do the things that they want to do. We can read in the 24th chapter of Matthew as well, you know, that iniquity will grow worse and worse. And then the great and dreadful day of the Lord will be upon us. This is part of the iniquity growing worse and worse. The hatred that is stirred up between the races, the misunderstanding, the offense taken at a word, the hardness of heart not to hear the fullness of the gospel. You know, he said all these things should become, you know, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I mean, my gosh, that sounds like modern day society, doesn't it? And it should, because it is. These are the days that we live in. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want to go over to the fourth chapter. I'll just start at the first verse and we'll read through a few of these. The fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure all afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. All this, is in the hands of God, in the timing of the passage of time that the Lord has set in place and ordered so that his work could be accomplished, so that the message could be taught, the gospel could be preached in its fullness. Because man has turned away from the truth. They have gathered themselves on people that preach what they want to hear. People that are yearning for the truth, yearning for the true Spirit of God, they will hear it. They will hear this gospel. They will come into it. Those that are yearning to hear what they want to hear will just jump from church to church, from doctrine to doctrine, until they find a church with a comfortable pew that teaches and preaches to justify the life that they want to live. And friends, that is why there's so many denominations in the world today. Because if you can't stand on the gospel of Christ, but yet you want to feel holy, you want to feel blessed, you want to feel like you're a Christian, then you just go create your own denomination so that you can preach and teach whatever you want to and still claim the love of the Lord. But we will be judged, brothers, by what the words of Christ are, by the gospel that he proclaimed, not by the man-made doctrines that we introduce and that we, as mankind, has started. But all scripture is given for the edification of man, and it's preached, the gospel is given, so that we might have salvation. So, let's go to Titus, the first chapter. God is telling us, you know, to come out of her, to be steadfast in his gospel and his doctrine. The first chapter of Titus, verse 15 says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good works reprobate." And that very much speaks of today, the time that we live in. You know, the sin of disobedience to God, the sin of being in sin is all laid out for us in the scripture. It's all laid out, the do's and the don'ts, the goods and the bads. And you know, the world is, the Christian world is in an uproar over the decision of the Supreme Court. And the thing to remind yourselves is that, you know, it's not against you or I, but it's a sin against God, and man sit in judgment to pass judgment to say this is good or this is right. You're allowed to sin here, you're allowed to sin there. You know, this is a sin against God, and I don't agree with what the decision the court handed down. I don't think they should have heard it to begin with, you know. But that's, like I said, a political conversation, not a scriptural one. But the judgment that was made is judgment of man. The sin is a sin against God. And there is no big sin, no little sin. The ruling that was handed down was on concerning gays and lesbians being married, you know. But the ruling could have been handed down against lying, defrauding your employer, stealing from your neighbor, coveting your neighbor, living a life in whoredom of lust and of wanting, of being immoral. Because to the Lord there is no big sin, little sin. All these things, what's written in Timothy, all those things are blasphemous against God. You know, God's not going to judge this nation simply on the ruling on this case that the court handed down. He's going to judge this nation on the whole compass of what the nation is acting upon. And they're acting upon the desires of the flesh and not seeking the desires of Christ. And that's why the Lord said that they must come a cleansing. They must come a renewing and a refreshing. And it will come, friends. Zion will be brought forth. And America's will be cleansed and the temple will be built. We studied in the 30th message and it said, you know, the guys got off track on building the temple. And they didn't get the job done. Well, the temple will be built, dear ones. It will be built in a time of haste, in a time of great peril. And that's the day we live in today. But it will be built by people whose hearts are pure and hands are clean. Because the Lord said, no unclean thing shall enter in. So that means it's going to be built during the tribulation and shortly thereafter. I mean, in that time frame. During the cleansing. When a nation is born in a day, and righteousness will shine forth. So this events of the past week, it is just part of time passing. It's just part of the Lord turning us over, us being the United States, us the world, over to our own lust, our own deceitful ways. And that's why it's so important that you are faithful and that we are faithful to be about preaching the gospel of Christ, to uphold the light that has been given, to uphold the truth that has been given. It's just, you know, simply stated, it's coming down, there's two forces, there's two services, there's good and there's evil. And the good is the work of the Lord. And the evil we know to be the work of Satan. And it comes down to those that serve the Lord and those that do not. In Matthew 17, I want to go there, starting in verse 7. Matthew 17 and 7 through the 13th. And this is talking about the work in this day that we live in. That the Lord would send His messenger. That His gospel would be restored. And that the work would be accomplished in God's great plan. Because He said, behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me. The sons of Levi to be purged. The ministry to be cleansed. So Matthew 17, starting at verse 13, starting at verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And they came down from the mountains, and Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And His disciples asked Him, saying, what then say the scribes, that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. And then the disciples understood that they spake unto them of John the Baptist. And so this is just, like I said, God told us of the days that was coming. He told us that there would be such a falling away that it would be as in the days of Noah. And you remember that the statement was made in the days of Noah that God repented even making man. He was so grieved over how wicked man became that He was sorry that He ever created him. But even in that frustration that God feels with us, He has a way of deliverance. And His deliverance is in place and intact. The Lord has sent His messenger. The gospel has been restored. The priesthood authority has been restored. This evil that we're living in right now, this evil time, is but for a short season. The atrocity that is being done around the globe will come to an end. But we have to continue to preach that light, to enlighten the world, that we studied in the 30th message this morning, that, you know, the gospel must be preached in all nations. And that is the salvation of all nations in that. Because what God does, He does well. And without a doubt, His words will not return unto Him void. All these things that He said He is taking care of and He is doing, He is going to do. I want to read over in Matthew 11:2. Again, this is just to illustrate the plan that God had, the bringing of His messenger to establishing His church. And it, I'm just going to pick it up in verse 10. It says, this is Matthew 11:10. For this is He of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know, John is called to do a special work, just as Brother Fetting was called to do a special work. Just as Brother Dre's was called to do a special work. Just as you and I are called to do a special work. And what was the qualifications of that work? What was the qualification of the Lord allowing us to be a part of His great work that's going on? I'm turning back to the 30th message. And I'm reading towards the end of the 9th verse. I have called you because of your unselfishness. You have not sought the honor of men. I will water the seed thou hast sown, and it shall bring forth. Amen. He has called you and I to be a part of this great work because we do not seek honor and glory of man. If we do, then we better put the brakes on our attitudes and seek the glory of God. The Lord has indeed given His gospel to be preached to the world. He has sent His messenger, a resurrected John the Baptist, whom we can read about in Matthew and Luke and Mark, and know that the words of God are true. And then we take His word, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we lay it up in store for the day ahead. When the Lord said that there would be a drought upon the land, and the drought upon the land is for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Friends, we're that rain for the thirsty ground. We are that rain, that moisture, for those good seeds to grow. We must need be out and about our Father's business. But we have to do it in humility and love that Christ has commanded us to. Not seeking the glory of God, not seeking the to ourselves, not seeking the glory of God to be given to us, but rather seeking the glory of God to be given to Him. Not seeking praises or slaps on the back, but rather giving praise to God in all things. You know, you have to be humble and be willing to do the Lord's work in His way, in His timing. Because as we saw when they was trying to build the temple back in 1920, you know, 1929 through 1927 to 1933, it didn't work. Because they got away from their first love. They got away from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The pundits of the news cycles, the talking heads and behind podiums all over the country this morning are yammering and talking about, oh, how bad the Supreme Court is, or how bad this is, or how bad that is, and we have to rise up, and we can't stand about it. And the thing is, remember, it's bad because God said that this day would come, that this falling away would happen. But he has already delivered mankind from this fall. He has sent his messenger and restored his priesthood authority. And that we must carry on, because that is the salvation of the world, not whether the courts decided one way or the other. Because in the eyes of the Lord, sin is sin. You know, there's no big sin, little sin, white or dark, red or brown, any color you want to paint it. Sinning against God is sinning against God. And his brightness, his truth, must reign out. You know, it does no purpose to be mad at man, because men are just doing what men do. They walk the way they want to walk. If you want to be upset, take it to the Lord and allow your frustration to morph in to a deeper obedience in preaching this gospel. Pray that he'll use you as he's used others in times past to water that good seed, to sow the seed, which is the gospel of Christ. So, friends, be of good cheer. God's doing a good work, and it's not without frustration, but it's certainly with the knowledge and the hope that the work of the Lord will stand, and it will stand the test and weather any storm. So I thank you for all that you've done. May God bless and keep each of you. We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day, for blessing us, and I ask that thou would lead and direct us in the days ahead. Bring us safely back together. Bring us, Lord Jesus, where you would have us to be, both body and spirit. And I ask that thou would just lead and direct. Bless our brethren in the missionary work and those that they labor with. Father, bless us work here as your gospel goes out, and that people hear your good news. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen. All right, friends.